This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. New England writers are as varied as its landscape, from Walt Whitman and his fellow transcendentalists to horror writers H.P. Lovecraft and Stephen King. Sarah Orne Jewett, Sylvia Plath, and John Irving were born here. Others, like the poet Robert Frost, were drawn to the region's natural beauty and quirky ways and launched their careers here. That migration is the subject of Leaving New York, Coming to New England. It's a panel and reading at the Book and Bar in Portsmouth on Monday, September 14th. The panel includes Anne Beattie, Catherine Towler, Yasha Monk, and Kate Christensen, and it's sponsored by Southern New Hampshire University's low-residency MFA program in creative writing. And Benjamin Nugent, who is director of the program, is with us. Benjamin, great to see you.
Hey, great to see you, Virginia.
Kate Christensen is with us on the line. She's the author most recently of How to Cook a Moose, a culinary memoir. And Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, Kate, we'll get to you in just a minute, but first I want to ask Ben a little bit about the other authors on the panel.
Sure. Anne Beattie, whose new book, it's been out for a little while, it's called The State We're In. She's a legendary American short story writer. She changed the way short stories were written starting in the 70s. John Updike actually said it to her in those exact words. He said, "You found a new way to write a short story," and she famously said, "I did," you know, and she and her friends would joke about it. And you can kind of sense that she would be that kind of inadvertently revolutionary writer from her style. It's a bit laconic. It's very informal. And then we also have joining us Catherine Towler, who is very much a Portsmouth writer. She's on the faculty of our program. And the book she has coming out is called The Penny Poet of Portsmouth. And it's a memoir about a kind of Portsmouth bohemian who she came to know. And then Yasha Monk is a lecturer at Harvard. He has a PhD in political science. He's sort of providing us with the brains of the operation. And he wrote a book called A Stranger in My Own Country, which is about growing up Jewish in contemporary Germany.
And Kate Christensen.
And Kate.
And is this a frequent migratory pattern from New York to New England?
Yeah, it is. You know, I myself am always migrating back and forth between the two, and I'm surprised at how many other writers I encounter on this circuit. You know, if you go up to Blue Hill, it's, you know, you can't, you know, even approach the water without bumping into like five New York novelists. Yeah.
Well, Kate, for you, your path was from New York City to New Hampshire and then to Maine. What was that move about?
It was actually about love. First, love of a person, and then love of the region. The two sort of went hand in hand. And I wasn't aware that there was a migration of writers. I thought that all the writers lived in Brooklyn, where I lived, for about 20 years. And I found it a bit claustrophobic and daunting, and I was frankly terrified of the writing scene in Brooklyn. I understand from a lot of friends isn't really terrifying. But I'd left a marriage, and I was thinking about leaving New York. I felt that after 20 years, I'd paid my dues there. And I happened to meet a man whose family had a farmhouse in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And anyone who's been to this region might imagine my delight when I first came here and saw it for the first time. And I ended up leaving New York, and we bought a house in Portland in Maine because we needed our own house for obvious reasons. And I've been here about 6.5 years, all told. And I've found it to be one of the happiest places I've ever been, and I say that with all due irony, I suppose, because the winters are rough, and economically, it's a tough place to live, and life is not easy here, but there's a sense of authenticity and real contentment that I have not found before in my life.
Well, Kate, is there a moment when you found yourself no longer writing about New York?
It's funny. I was a New York novelist, and I wrote 6 novels when I lived in New York. And I was firmly wedded to fiction as what I did. And I didn't really venture much into nonfiction. And then coinciding with my move to Portland and my 50th birthday, there came upon me a sort of autobiographical fever that I had never experienced before. There was a sort of feeling of being settled and happy, finally, for the first time in my life, and wanting to take stock. And so I wrote a memoir called Blue Plate Special, which was about everything that led up to moving here. But the ending was a little happy coda about moving here, and I kept thinking after I finished the book, I want to write a whole book about living here. And it became clear that this was a local passion project for me, a way of sort of thanking the region in a way, or acknowledging what it's been to live here. So I wrote a whole book about leaving New York and living here.
And your new book, How to Cook a Moose, you've gone all in, you know. Tell me a little bit about that sort of opening from food culture to Maine culture, or however it went.
I think that Maine is such, it's almost a food utopia in a way. I realize when I talk about Maine, I sound very starry-eyed, and that I am aware of that, but it's genuine. I've always put food in my novels, and I've always felt that food is a key to character. We all eat, and how and what we eat are as indicative of who we are as anything else. And my memoir was about food. It's called Blue Plate Special, and it was sort of about growing up and becoming an eater. So it seemed like a natural extension to write about this region in terms of its food. And I might add that I'm also a passionate eater, sort of obsessed with food. And so writing a book about the food here felt to me like a way in. And it was a way to meet Mainers and people in New Hampshire also. I met farmers and a mushroom forager and sort of neighbors where I live here in the White Mountains. And it felt like a way into the region to find out about the history of food, where it comes from fishing and foraging and farming to putting it on the table.
Well, one of the bits I like from the book, you talk about admiring the quiet work ethic, somehow never puritanical or self-righteous, as well as the lack of judgment, the mind-your-own-business attitude, and fierce pride of place. Is there a main character?
Well, I would say that I feel like writers do really well up here also because of that work ethic. And there is a sense that people are hard at work here. There's no particular scene that you feel like you have to be part of. There's no sense of needing to go out. And so, I mean, people are working. I feel like I came here ready to settle down, and I've found the possibility of settling down because there's a sense of a communal kind of, we're all working hard. And nobody sort of brags about it. It's just what you do because you have to. And so I feel right at home here for that reason, too.
I'm speaking with the novelist and memoir writer Kate Christensen and also with Benjamin Nugent. They're both going to be part of a reading and panel called Leaving New York, Coming to New England. That's at the Book and Bar on Monday. Well, Benjamin, I'm just thinking about, I moved from New York to New England, and mm-hmm. I grew up in New England, so mm-hmm. there was a sense of homecoming, but there still was this sense of identity as a New Yorker, you know, mm-hmm. that I was carrying with me, mm-hmm. which made me suspect, I think, immediately to a lot of people.
As it should.
Well, I'm wondering about that notion of being a newcomer, you know, sort of like mm-hmm. Kate, having fresh eyes to see an experience. What does that add to the writing of the people that you've got on this panel?
Well, you know, speaking of my own experience, I've always been somebody who, not by choice, always had to go back and forth by Amtrak between New England and New York because my father lived in New York City and my mother lived in Amherst, Massachusetts. So I spent a childhood on the Vermonter, going back and forth between weekends and weekdays. Mm. And so for me, there's no other state but this half New York, half New England one. But I actually think what's been important for me in terms of how it's changed my own writing being up here since I came to Southern New Hampshire University as a professor is kind of getting away from a culture that's very New York, sort of the culture of Edith Wharton and F. Scott Fitzgerald, which is the literature of ambition and ruthlessness and glamour. New York is the place where you can reinvent yourself and nobody can call you on it because nobody knew you before you showed up here. And that's the wonderful thing about it. New England's a very different place. And as soon as I moved up here and started teaching here, and, you know, I was teaching undergraduates at that point, and the undergraduates at Southern New Hampshire University are very much a local school. And so their voices immediately took over my fiction, and it very much became about a particular ex-urban Northern New England culture and the youth culture in particular, which I hadn't found documented in literature before. And so immediately, my work became about the fraternity brothers of New England.
Is there a push to be a regionalized writer?
I don't feel a push from New England to be any particular kind of writer at all. And that, I think, is one of the beauties of being a writer here, because it's a place of individualism and it's a place of autonomy in a way as a writer. Even though I have a terrific group of friends who are writers here and in Portland, I feel like we're all off doing our own thing, and that is one of the joys of being a writer here. Right now I'm writing a novel about a cruise ship that leaves from Long Beach, California, and goes down to Mexico, which is as far in this country from New England as you can get. So I'm not becoming a New England novelist per se in my setting anyway, in this novel. But I feel like there is a collective sense of excitement about writing that isn't at all competitive in a strange way. It's when someone up here publishes a novel, we're all really excited for them. We don't really talk about our advances because I don't think anyone gets that big advances up here. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there's this guy called Stephen King. His advances.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard of him. I heard he's really good.
Jodi Picoult, I think, does pretty well as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that whole notion that, you know, a writer can live anywhere with a fast internet and a close airport, you know, what has happened to the notion of regionalism in writing in our contemporary connected culture, do you think?
Well, I think we're at a really interesting moment with this in that we're becoming such a mobile workforce and such a mobile country that regionalism, while it might be interesting as a kind of literary marketing category, is in fact disappearing as a fact of American life. It's harder to find regionalisms. My professors at the Iowa Writers' Workshop, where Kate and I both attended, would say, figure out what region your characters are from and have their dialogue reflect that region. And it was so the opposite of my experience growing up. It was like, what? Like that Amherst regional? Like, what are you talking about? And I think that's true for most Americans these days. You really have to work to find a place with a regional dialect. You have to go to like Dorchester or down east or something. And so what I'm interested in is finding the kind of undocumented pan-American ways of that young people are speaking that are new. And so getting out of New York sometimes with its kind of very insular, hyper-privileged literary culture made it easier to do that.
It was so interesting, Kate, that you're choosing to write about a cruise ship, you know, something that's kind of locationless.
Yes, and what I'm writing about is similar to what Ben was just saying, the sense of a global culture now, and I've established the cruise ship as a sort of microcosm of the world that's almost like a floating upstairs, downstairs, and a kind of entrenched class system that I think exists in a larger sense. And I think that with the internet, not only are we speaking more of a sort of uniform internet-ese English, but I think we're also far more aware of the world outside of where we are, which is a good thing, I think, in so many ways, and also a scary thing because it's hard to keep your head in the sand as much as it used to be comfortable. I think that writing itself is changing, and I think that being here is nice because I can feel grounded geographically and also have a sense of being part of a larger culture.
Well, I think it's going to be a really interesting panel. Thank you both for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Virginia.
Thank you.
Kate Christensen, she's author of several books, including The Great Man, Blue Plate Special, and most recently, How to Cook a Moose. And Benjamin Nugent, author of American Nerd, The Story of My People, the novel Good Kids, and director of SNHU's Low Residency MFA Program in Fiction and Nonfiction, which is sponsoring Leaving New York, Coming to New England. That's a panel and reading at Portsmouth's Book and Bar on Monday, September 14th. It is free, but space is limited. You can find details at wordofmouthradio.org.
Don't bury me under stone or under sea. Sorry.